Just do this.
Okay, first thing over here is the minigis. Then you come to the Beis HaKnesses, the night of Tisha B'Av, you remove the paroiches. The paroiches of the Aron HaKodesh is taken off. Some do not take it off. They push to the side, either or. Why? Why do we do that? It's based on the Pasuk in Eicha. The Pasuk says, Bitsa Em Rasoi. Hashem has torn, rent his garment. Hashem has ripped his garment. And we learn from this a very interesting yisoid, is that the paroiches is considered to be the robe of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the robe. When you look at it, what is a paroiches? So it's just a curtain. It's a tzlius. It's a way to shelter the Sefer Torah. That's true, but it's more than that. The paroiches represents kavayachol, the garment of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Isn't that an interesting concept? Inside the Aron HaKodesh is the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is the makom where the Shechina is resting in Galus, in this world. In every Beis HaKnesses, there is a degree of Shechina that is resting in the Aron HaKodesh, and the Shechina is dressed in clothing, and the clothing is the paroiches. And that is why we have a minhag. We always change the paroiches, just like a person changes his clothes every so often to reflect the occasion. When you go to a wedding, the kala wears white. Is that a Jewish minhag, by the way? Is that a Jewish minhag? Not necessarily. Not necessarily a Jewish minhag for the kala to wear white. Is that bar from the guy? Everyone does, even the Hasidim. Even the Hasidim who are meticulous in preserving tradition and rejecting anything that has any small degree of connection to the Umayyad Olam, even the kala wears a white gown.
Why represent purity? It's very symbolic.
But is this, when Rivka got married, did she wear a white gown? Okay, when the Tanoim and the Amoroim got married, did they wear a white gown? It's not so simple.
White,
that's what that's why Neri to show the Shabbos.
You know, if you want to do an Avera, you must get dressed in black. Like, you must have been
Lavan is white. Okay, so I don't know. Whatever it is, this is an accepted Megan Klali story, but it's an accepted Megan Klali show that the kala wears white. There's no question about that. Avelos, we wear black. We wear black for Avelos and white for Chasna. And the Paroiches is a very beautiful thing.
Is there any chiv to wear black in Avelos?
No chiv to wear black. It's a minhag. It's a minhag to wear black. It says in the Gemara, the Gemara says it's black. A person who is in a mourner should dress himself in black clothing. It says, Tami Chazal, they would wear, in the Shoah Avelos, wear black shoes. You would, and black shoelaces. Even if you wore black shoes, you wouldn't dare wear black shoelaces. Because that means you're from the tzaddikim who are mis'abel of the churban Yerushalayim every single day. Who do you think you are? Mechse kiyohara. Arrogance. You think you're such a holy person that it's fitting that you should mourn for the churban of Yerushalayim every single day by wearing black shoes and black shoelaces? What, are you kidding? So you see from the Gemara, see from Tosfos in Masechta Kedushin, that black is, no question about it, is the color of mourning. In the Kinos, we learned that Yirmiyah, he met a woman dressed in black. She was a beautiful woman, but she was filthy, dirty, and her, and she was dressed in black clothing. And he said to her, are you a demon or are you a person? On the one hand, you have characteristics that look like a human being, but mitzad sheni, you look like a demon. And she said to Yirmiyah, none of the above. I am representative of the Shechina. I am the Shechina. And I am being misabel over the loss of my children of the Yerushalayim. That's why I'm dressed in black. I'm in a state of mourning. The reason why I look ugly, I'm dirty, is because I'm dirty due to the sins of Klal Yisrael. But be'etzem, you are correct. I am a beautiful person because the Shechina represents the beauty, the greatest beauty that this world has to offer. So what do you learn from that kina, that chazal? Black is the color of Avelos. Okay? Black is the color...
Yeah.
is the color, black is the color of mourning. So we have an appreciation that the parayches and the beis hakneses is the garment of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not just a mechitza between us and the Shechina. It's not just a way to create a halachic division. It's much more than that. The parayches is the garment of the Shechina.
So
Einachinami, we do not do this. Chassidim are much, much more into this. If they had their way, they would have a different parayches for every Shabbos. Chassidim, they have, it's a very, very big thing, that they change the parayches very often. The only one that I saw do this in this neighborhood was Rabbi Shur. Rabbi Shur, in his shul, he has for every Yom Tov a different parayches, and he even has a different parayches for the Dalet Parshas. For Parshas Shkolim, Parshas Achodesh, Parshas Para, he has a collection of curtains that he used to cover the Aron HaKodesh, because the just like a woman, when she comes to shul, you know, you don't wear the same dress twice, right? Right? I always wonder the women on the news, the anchor women, I asked this to my sister. I once said, is it true? Because every time, I don't watch news anymore, we don't have television anymore, but every time we used to watch, they're always wearing something different. Is it really possible? They wear every single newscast? No. So she says, no, if you notice, I don't notice. Women notice all these things. They wear the same things. Every once, there's a cycle. He says, you see that they do. Wow, only a woman would pick that up, okay? A man would not necessarily pick that up. But, you know, there's something to it. You wear a different, especially a woman, you wear different garments to reflect the event, to reflect the day, and to reflect the event, whatever event or the day, whatever is happening at that time. The garment carries the flavor of the time. That is why there is a minuk among Hasidim ad hayom hazeh where they often change the parayches. The event, the theme of Pesach is not the same theme as Sukkot and Shavuos. They do this even among the Ashkenazim for the mantle for the Sefer Torah. Many shuls have people who donate a special mantle just for Sukkot, just for Pesach, just for Shavuos. Maybe a special mantle just for Purim. Because Yom Narom, everyone for Yom Narom has white. But even among the Yom Narom, there's a different mantle for Rosh Hashanah and for Yom Kippur. It's not practical because the cost of a parayches is enormous. I mean, the cost is just outrageous what it costs to buy a new parayches. But among the Hasidim, they do this. In fact, in Rabbi Wolfson's shul, in Munas Yisrael, they have tracks. If you ever gone there, I was there, and they have on the Aron HaKodesh, I believe there are three tracks. And the tracks go behind the Aron HaKodesh, and on each track there is a different parayches. And they change the parayches between Shachris and Musaf.
When?
Well, it's easy to do that.
Because they have different tracks, at least on Yom Tov. I was there, I was once there for on Hashanah Rabbah. And for Shachris there was one parayches. And then I pick up my head in the middle of Musaf. What? That doesn't look familiar. How did that parayches get there so quickly? I didn't see anyone coming there and taking it down in the middle of laning, taking all the hooks off. They take a half an hour to go change the parayches in the shul. No, they have tracks. And for Shachris, there is one parayches. And then when they open up the Ark, they put away the Sefer Torah. They open up the parayches. They put back the Sefer Torah. And they close the doors. And when they close the parayches, they close a different parayches. Why? Because the parayches is the garb of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the garb of the Shechina. It's not just a mechitza. And Musaf has a different flavor than Shachris. It's a different type of tefillah. And when you appreciate what you're saying in the Nusach HaTefillah, you appreciate that it's a whole different approach. Therefore, the Shechina relates to the event by being dressed in a different garment. This has very great nafka mina on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, what do? We remove the parayches. It's not just stam. What are you removing the parayches for? You need a mechitza. It's a halachic issue. There's the Aron HaKodesh, there's the Torah, and there's us. It's not their cheretz that we should be in the presence of the Aron of the Torah and talking and schmoozing and doing things in its presence. We need to have a separation. So who told you to take off the paroiches? The answer is no, you're missing the point what a paroiches is. It's not just a mechitza, it is a garment. And on Tisha B'Av, the Torah is in Avelos. And when one is Avelos, what is the first thing a person does? He rises Kriya. By removing the Pareches, it's the equivalent of the Shechina rising Kriya on its garment. And there's a pasuk in Echa. Bitsa em rasoi. Hashem, he cut, he ripped, he shred his garment, his royal garb, that he dresses himself in. So that's where this minute comes from, to remove the garment. That also gives you a little bit more appreciation that in some shuls, they do not remove the paroiches. They push the paroiches to the side. Now, I always thought it's because they're lazy. I always accuse those shuls who don't take the paroiches off the hooks and push it to the side. You're just lazy. You don't want to take off the hooks. You don't appreciate what Tisha B'Av is all about. That's not true. It's not a matter of being lazy. It's a matter of minog. Because just like us, when Rachmana Litzlan, when a person is in Avelus, you don't take off your clothing. You don't walk around naked. You don't walk around naked. You wear clothing. You rise Kriya. You walk around in tattered clothing. You're dressed. You're not. You have to cover yourself. So too, you don't take off the paroiches. Don't be mevazeh the Shechina by stripping the Shechina naked. That's not derech eretz for the Shechina. The Shechina has its clothing. It's just pushed slightly to the side. By pushing it to the side, it's an expression that we have done kriya. But we're not going to be mevazeh the Shechina by taking off his clothing. So you have to be very careful. You see, everything has a makar. Don't be like me. When you see something, right away you suspect it's a matter of laziness. It's not a matter of laziness. It's very done with a lot of precision when you appreciate what is the makar, the reason for the minik.
When did they change the
practice? So that the Gemara seems to say twice a year. There are different opinions. It seems that the women, the girls, would craft, would crochet, would weave a new pareches for the shaloi shugalim, or at least for Sukkis and for Pesach. They would completely replace the pareches that's ma'adil ben hakodesh uben hakodesh hakodoshim, and that means it was a new design every twice a year, a new design.
Well, it makes sense because if they did a kind of did a zoya.
It was full of blood. Okay, it was full of blood. And so they did azos, it was dirty. But they could send to the cleaners. They could send, not necessarily. Who says it was white? We don't know that. It doesn't say what color it was. It's very likely that it depended. It depended on the time. It depended on the design of these women. It was their thing. They wove, they created a new paroiches twice a year during the good times. Maybe during there were times when they did it even more often. It doesn't say. And then on the other hand, it does seem to say that they did not necessarily do it. It all depended upon the different tekufas in Jewish history. But definitely there was a tekufa when they would replace the paroiches often, and it was designed by Noshim, just like what we do today. There's a mile of having a beautiful paroiches. Every shul has something very unique. I remember when I went and visited Bell's the first time when they were almost finished building it. And one of the things that really struck me was the pareches. I was just blown away. I thought it was just gorgeous. It was out of this world. The detail, the design. I've noticed now that it's no longer there. They've already replaced it probably many times since with new designs, new additions of the pareches. But there's a lot to be said about the design of a pareches. Today, it's not very practical because it's very, very expensive. The prices, you wouldn't believe what it costs to buy a new pareches. And even a mantle, it's outrageous what they charge for a mantle. You wouldn't believe it. And therefore, we don't see this as much. We do see on the Yomim Noirim, we change it to white versus a more colorful pareches during the year. But it's something which ideally is done much more often to reflect the moment, to reflect the time, the event, And it gives us a much, much greater appreciation of what we do on Tisha B'Av when we either remove it or we push it to the side. That is also meaning to take away the mantle from the bima and from the omer. I don't know where this comes from. This, I once read up on this, and this is not something that is so simple. Everyone does it. Everyone does. They take off the mat. They take off the from the bima. They take off the mapa. The mapa from the bima. Why do you do that? Is the map on the bima called what? They don't.
We don't do that. No, we never.
You don't take off the mapa, and they put on a talus instead.
They leave
the mapa. They leave the mapa. Maybe also today it's very common because today a lot of them are much more high tech, where they have a very heavy piece of glass or have a very heavy piece of plexiglass that is keeps it pressed down, packed in. So therefore, it's not practical to even do. It's not even possible almost to do it unless you do it professionally. We have someone else they're doing, so maybe that's why they do not do it. But I remember years ago, and I'm still where I die, and Chaim Berlin, they definitely take it off. They take off the mapa from the bima and from the amud. Why? I once read an article, and it seems like it's not so simple that this really is Jewish tradition. The Makar is the Pareiches. The Pareiches is Bitza Em Rosan. The Mapa on the Shulchan is a Mapa. You need a Mapa. It's Derech Eretz when you learn from the Sefer Torah. There's nothing really to do with this concept of Hashem's garment. I guess by extension, people viewed as an extension of the garment.
Why
so
did you read under the Shulchan without him?
You could. It's just not there. What? And anyway, even the shuls that do take it off, they put on a talus. They don't. It's just like you come to someone's house. You have on your table. Look in the shul over here. You have over here a tablecloth. It's a certain derech eretz. It's a certain derech eretz. Remember, yes, you told me that was one of the way they would test for shidduchim. They would test for shidduchim if they would come. They would go into your house and they did not see a tablecloth on your dining room table the whole week during the week. That was a bad sign. Stay away. It's a bad sign. Today it's laughable. Okay, today someone will tell you that if you don't have a tablecloth on the dining room table on a Tuesday morning, that means that you're not religious. It's a joke. They'll laugh you out. But not that long ago, this was the Minhag Yisrael in a Jewish home. You never have your table uncovered. At Kedekach, it was the Minhag. There is a time. It's brought down over here. There was a time that during the 9 days, the Minhag was to take the tablecloth off your dining room table. The whole year round, you never have a beer table. It's not a Jewish thing to have a beer table. Why? I don't know. But it's not a Jewish thing. Like a Mizbeach. The table is the Kalik, is the Mizbeach. The Mizman Azeh, the chesed that you do on your table by giving poor people food and making brachas and doing your avodah with emunah is like the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, you mechabe the mizbeach by covering it with a tablecloth. The minhag is that during the 9 days, you take the tablecloth off your dining room table. I guess to show that since the mikdash was destroyed and we no longer have a mizbeach, so our mizbeach in our home should be bare in order to reflect that we're lacking a mizbeach as well.
Yeah, in the same regard, like you mentioned before, that
the mapa. So you want to say it's the same idea. It's the mizbeach. Okay. So you want to say it's the navelus. Okay. You're saying very, very interesting. But the point you're making over here is then, it's very clear, clarify this point. The reason then you would take off the mapa from the shulchan has nothing to do with taking off the pareches. The pareches is the garment of the shechina. The shulchan is the mizbeach. And that's why on Sukkot, we walk around the Mizbeach. We do Hashanah, we walk around the Shulchan. The Shulchan is the Mizbeach. So in Mechabe, the Mizbeach. It's the Mizbeach. So we can't bring Kurbanos, but at least let's give it Kavod. We put a beautiful mapa on the Shulchan. Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed due to our sins, we show that we no longer have a Mizbeach by removing the Kavod from the Shulchan. So it's two different reasons. This is the Mizbeach, and this is the garment of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hai L'chud v'hai L'chud. Do not confuse the two. Each one is completely separate. Okay, let's go to another minhag. Now, when we lay in Megillah, when we lay in the Eicha, the night of Tisha B'Av, each perek, the Baal Kriya is supposed to raise his voice higher. Each successive perek, that when you begin, there are five parakim. Each one, he raises his voice a little bit higher. You have to be a real expert in order to do that, in order to detect in your voice, to be able to sense the volume of your voice. Five different levels to go from zero, from one through five. I just want you to note and know how this is different than Purim. There are a lot of similarities or a lot of different ideas where the Mefarshim contrast Purim with Tisha B'Av. We contrast Mitzad Echad Pesach with Tisha B'Av, B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim versus B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. That's one popular approach. And there's another approach when we contrast Purim, a day of Simcha, with the Avelos, the ultimate Simcha, Kishem Mishenichnas B'Av Mematin B'Simcha Kachem Mishenichnas Adar Marbe B'Simcha. Okay, there's a contrast in the Chazal between Purim and Tisha B'Av. When you lay in the Megillah, you're also supposed to raise your voice at a point in the Megillah from where? Balayla Hahu Nadada Shnas Hanech. Approximately in the middle of the Megillah, you raise your voice. Mikanu Labo, you raise your voice. Notice that in Eicha, you do the same thing. We contrast the laying of Eicha with the laying of the Megillah, but in Eicha, you raise your voice five times, not just one time. What's the difference? Because the Avelos is much greater than the Simcha. We have Simcha today. We have wonderful Simcha today. Purim. So in the process of the Megillah, where we raise our voice, we show that the Simcha gets more and more. But on Tisha B'Av, when we raise our voice to show that the Avelus, unfortunately, every year grows more and more, when we get further and further away from the Beis HaMikdash, Niskatnu HaDoros, as Golus goes on, we sink lower and lower, we raise our voice five times. It's not a coincidence. Five times versus once. We raise our voice, both of these Megillahs. But unfortunately, Avelos is real. The Tsar of Avelos is real. Simcha is make-believe. We have Simcha, no doubt about it. But as long as there is no Beis HaMikdash, as long as there is a Churban, the Simcha is not real. It's not as real as it could be, as it should be. But Avelos, it's real. The Avelos is the real deal. This is Churban, five times versus one time. Okay, next idea. When we lay in the Megillah, we come to the end of Eicha, the Chazan repeats the second to last pasuk. Or really, the Shliach Tzibar, the one who's laying, he lays in the very, very end. And then we, when he finishes the last pasuk, we go back and we recite the second to last pasuk. Right. While we don't want to end off on a bad note. We don't want to end up on a bad note, and therefore we go back and we lay in the second to last pasuk, and then the Baal Kriya also lays the second to last pasuk. It's very interesting that we would focus on not ending off on a bad note, even on Tisha B'Av. It's one thing not to end off on a bad note when you're laying on a happy day, on Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mesamen Aliyah on a bad note. You're not allowed on Yom Tov, because these are happy days. Happy days are upon us. But Tisha B'Av, the whole essence of the day, Sunday, Monday, right? So there's Tisha B'Av, the whole essence is a day of sadness. It's a day of sadness. So what do we care? What do we care that we end off on a bad note when we lay in Megillah, yeah?
Because you don't want this day of mourning to feel so hopeless.
Well, we do.
but the idea is to temper a little bit with the...
Okay, that's a chiddush. We should appreciate the chiddush. That's what I want to bring out. It is a tremendous chiddush that we should want to do this, because we do this in other ways. After chatzos, we get up and we say nachem. There are plenty of things that we do in the second half of the day which uplifts us. But in the heat, in the intensity of the Avelos, it appears to be out of character that we should make an attempt So it'll be Messiah the Megillah with Hashiveinu. This is Tisha B'Av. Rabbi said, this is not a happy day. This is not a happy day. It's a sad day. And if it's a sad day, focus on the sadness. What are you trying to be to outsmart the Megillah Kinnus by going at the end of the Sefer? Oh, Hashiveinu Hashem Lechon Shuvachadishim and Hikedem. What are you doing? If Yirmi wanted to end off with Hashiveinu, he would have ended off with Hashiveinu. He chose not to end off with Hashiveinu, so we should also not end off. So right, so Hashem told him that the very end is not Hashiveinu. So what are we going to outsmart Hashem? This is Tisha B'Av. What are we trying to fool? So the answer is, so you see, I don't have an answer. Just you see, it is a chiddush to appreciate. It is out of character. It's not out of character when we do these type of things, or we do these things the whole year round. Because the whole year round is not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av. Stick to the program. Stick to the program. And yet we don't. So obviously there is something going on here which we don't. Which I don't know the answer to. It's a question. Karlai Moed is what you don't do. Karlai Moed is a concept of what you don't do, the hiddenness. You don't say tachna. Okay, even that's not the real reason why we don't say tachna. We don't say tachna, it's really because of sosam tefilosi. So even if you want to tell me the reason why you don't say that, oh, it's a moed. Okay, so don't do something. But to do something, to do a kumviaseh, to take away the avelos, that's out of character. We're supposed to end off Kinois, Eicha, with sadness. That's the goal, to walk away sad.
I think here, maybe you want to influence God.
I don't know. Yeah.
We do this without a strong influence.
I know, but it's we do this because those are not days of sadness. Those are days of happiness. So therefore, that's why we do it, B'davka, because it's not today. When these Svarim were written, they were not necessarily written for the holiday. They were written to be studied the whole year round. So the whole year round, you learn the Sefer. So you end off the Sefer, you focus on the words of Nevuah. Yeah. Oh, we took it upon ourselves to lay in the Sefer on Yom Tov.
When did we start reading Kaf?
Why?
When? Immediately? The year after? The
yes, it seems like it was done immediately. Yes. When were Chazal Masakein? Well, it's a Takonas Chazal. So the Konis Chazal to write certainly during time of the Bayis Sheni, that's for sure. Anshei Kness Agadol existed during the Churban Bayis Sheni, so immediately, L'Choyer was immediate.
It's Nevu. He makes a point of saying in general, because he talks about it with Lagabai this too, but he starts off with Koheles that we read the Hussek, that we don't. We shouldn't,
yeah,
because he agrees, like with what you just said, it's Tisha B'Av. And what he says, the problem is that we probably don't, because he asked the same question. You think Yirmiyahu didn't know Ein Messiah Melech Dabar Tov, Shlomo HaMelech certainly understood Ein Messiah Melech Dabar Tov. The answer has to be then, we don't really understand what the Pasuk means. The message of the Pasuk, Ki Imoz Maskonu, Kotzak Tolein Lag Me'od, where it actually ends, is that's for our benefit for that to happen, so that, you know, once that happens, we could get on and move up with it. You have to hit rock bottom. The same way Koheles says also, it's not as bad as it sounds. We don't understand the message of the pasuk. That's the
so
way
therefore, it's trying to tell, we don't understand.
So
we'll,
it's not as bad okay, as it okay. sounds.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay. The pasuk.
Okay.
That's his attitude.
All right, it's an idea. It's definitely a very original idea. Interesting idea.
Oh, that's what he does.
All right, now let's go a little bit further. Okay, now this year, we have a minute to recite. This year doesn't really make a difference because it's Mitzvah Shabbos. We have to spend some time learning all of the unique halachas that apply to Tisha B'Av when it falls out on Shabbos and Mitzvah Shabbos. But every year, we always recite V'yatah Kadosh Yeshev Tilois Yisrael V'kara Zelzev Yamar. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimukamai. Why? Why is that critical for Tisha B'Av? And we recite also on Purim as well. Why do we do this? until after we conclude Eicha on the night of Tisha B'Av. This year we would anyway do it because it's Motzoi Shabbos, but it's unique to Tisha B'Av as well. So the answer given is the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Bizman Hazel, we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. What does the world survive? In the merit of what does the world continue to exist? And the Gemara says two things. The Kedusha, the recital of Kedusha de Sidra, which is Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kivoid, and the Yehei Shnei Rabbah that is recited after we finish Divrei Agoda. Therefore, after we finish Eicha, and we reflect upon the fact that there is no longer a Beis HaMikdash, there are no longer Korbanos, we ask ourselves the question, why does the world still exist? In what merit? That is why it's critical after Eicha, we remind ourselves, V'ata Kadosh Yoshev Tilois Yisrael V'kara Zel Zev Yamar, the concepts of Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kivoid is why, even without a Beis HaMikdash, the world will continue to exist. That's the reason why we say this Mitzoy after the night of Tisha B'Av. Yeah? No, the word Kedusha the Sidra and Yehei Shnei Rabbah the Agadita. What is that? So we don't do that. We don't do because we can't learn. We're not allowed to learn. We're not allowed to learn on Mitzoy on Tisha B'Av, so we can't do that. That we can't do. And that we can't do. There are two things. Chazal just say these are the two things. What the deeper meaning is, I don't know. But even without a Beis HaMikdash, these two things, the Yehei Shmei Rabbah that is said after we learn Agadita, and the recital of Kedusha de Sidra, which is Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kadosh, is in that merit, the world continues to exist. We have to focus on that after we focus on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's critical. We recite Eicha. Eicha reflects the fact that we are in Golus and there is no longer a Beis HaMikdash. And when you walk away from Eicha, you ask yourself the question. So that's it. The world is over. The end. Why should the world continue to exist? The answer is Plan B. Even though there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is still sanctity in this world, and that sanctity is reflected in the theme, in the deep concepts of Kiddusha the Sidra, and that's why it's so critical for us to recite this after we finish the Megillah, Megillas Eicha. Now, by extension, we have the same thing on Purim. On Purim, what do we read the Megillah? We read the Megillah Esther, but when the Megillah Esther is over, it's a letdown. It's not sure in Purim today, but the truth is, Megillas Esther is a very great disappointment. The whole what's the Megillah? You read about the whole story of the Megillah. The Jews were almost destroyed, and then the miraculous survival, and then what? Business as usual. Mordechai was rotzui leroy vechov. The last words. Most people liked him, but he had detractors. He had a lot of enemies also. Mordechai. Not everyone was his best friend, and that's why there was sinas chinam. It was only leroy. There was sinas chinam. They had tainus on him, this, that. No, sinas chinam. Business as usual is not going to be a Beis HaMikdash until we eradicate the sinas chinam, until we can go from roiv to kol. There will never be a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore...
But there was a Beis HaMikdash.
For them, there was a Beis HaMikdash. Not for us. But not for us. Okay, when we reenacted, even for them, the Baal Yesheni... And even for them, this is clear, right. It was a far cry. The Zakenim were crying when they saw the rebuilding of the Baal Yesheni. There were five things that never were restored. And it never achieved the sanctity. And Chazal seemed to say they knew from the very beginning this was just a temporary structure to be Mechazek Klal Yisrael before the long Golus of 2,000 years until Mashiach comes. So it wasn't the real thing. Why not? Because the truth is, the miracle of Purim did not accomplish what it should have accomplished. It should have accomplished the Geula HaSida. And the end of the Megillah says, Achashverosh, she put at mass, tax, basically business as usual, L'roi Vechov, and there's going to be galus. It's a letdown. There's a letdown. So why does the world continue to exist until that day? Every time you focus, you concentrate on disappointment, that is when you have to come and be mashlim, the disappointment, with recognition. The world has a purpose. The world can still exist even in times of sadness. Now, once we understand how that's pretty, it's very simple when it comes to Tisha B'Av, for sure we understand, after we learn Eicha, and we even can appreciate on a deeper level why that's true when it comes to Purim, now you also can understand why we say it every Mitzvah Shabbos. Because what is Shabbos? Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. The Shabbos Ata, Shabbos represents Geula. Okay, the Shabbos Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Shabbos Matan Torah, and the Shabbos Shel Osir Lovei Ato Echad V'Shimcha Echad Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. The three Shabbos.
Why do you say it every morning after davening?
After davening, as an order, why do we say this? Okay,
to let down from Tfilah to
I hear. I don't know. No, that's more. I think that's more of a nusach atzvirin. That's a good point. It's a good point. Let's focus on this, and then we'll come back to that in a moment. But Mitzvah Shabbos is a very sad time. Right. A lot of people have mentioned, and they've taken note, is that the most depressing time of the week for many people is Mitzvah Shabbos. They say that Rav Chutner used to get very depressed Mitzvah Shabbos, and he would have someone come play the violin. Every Mitzvah Shabbos during the tikkun of his life, he would have a professional come and play for him the violin in order to lift him up. People, holy people, people have a sensitivity to Kedusha, it affects them. And we see today, a lot of the worst things that happen among us, the most dangerous time that parents have to be aware, they're warned by Mechanchim, is to know, do you know where your child is if there's one day a week, if there's one kufa in the week when you should really know exactly what your child is doing, that is Mitzvah Shabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos is a very, very dangerous time in the spiritual world.
What are the reasons
there's Malka? Malka,
Yeah, because it's, what do you call it? You're still holding on to the Shabbos.
You try to hold on to the Shabbos. Yeah. But the emes is, once Shabbos leaves, when the Neshama Yisera leaves, it's like a Chorban. You're in Shabbos. There's a Kedusha. Even the simplest person, he has a Neshama Yisera. When the Neshama Yisera leaves him on Mitzvah Shabbos, that's almost like the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It's left you. There's a Kedusha that has departed. Chorban. It can cause a person, it can cause upheaval in a person's spiritual existence. And it can lead to, it can lead to depression, it can lead to many things. And even though a person consciously may not realize this, we all see that Mitzvah Shabbos, people are very, very confused. Look at the rate, look what happens at Shulam, Mitzvah Shabbos. People are fighting. Who gets the Amud? People will do the most craziest things to get the Amud, Mitzvah Shabbos. Even what? Because the Yoresh of the Neshama Yisera. There's a Kabbalah, since when are you a Mekubal? Since when are you a Mekubal and you're so nizer in saying Kaddish for the Yoresh of the Neshama Yisera? And people, what?
Kaddish is not said.
Mitzvah Shabbos. No. Kaddish is not said.
Not by the Baal
Tefila. But the Baal Tefila davens Ma'ariv. Why? It's the Yartz of the Neshama Yisera. But it doesn't say Kaddish. It doesn't say, you know, some do say Kaddish. But we don't. Most of us don't. We don't say Kaddish. So you don't say Kaddish. So what's this all about? What? Oh. No, so they don't, in the, today they don't make fights. What do they do today? They splinter into 20 minyanim. Okay, today it's a joke. You splinter into 20 mini shuls. They have a minion in the shul, 2 minyanim in the shul, and this side of the shul, that side of the shul, and a minion on the staircase, a minion outside the shul, and a minion in the back alley. It's crazy. It's totally outrageous what's going on. Why? Because the Neshama Yisera has such kedima, has more kedima than everything put together. People do bizarre things. Everyone's racing. Literally 1 second too late, and you keep someone waiting, they can go berserk. They're possessed by the devil. That's on Shabbos. Why? It's because the Neshama Yisera is leaving. The Neshama Yisera is leaving, and it causes a person to act in strange ways. strange ways. It's a spiritual, it's something spiritual. You don't realize how spiritual it is. It's a korban. It represents a minor korban. And that's why a person has to take focus. You know, just because the world came to an end, or my world came to an end, I cannot maintain this level of kedusha. You know what? The world goes on. V'ata kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael v'kara zelzev yamar kadosh kadosh kadosh. The oilam has a purpose. The purpose of the world bizman, when there is no when you can't achieve plan A, plan B is found in kedusha. This sidra. At moments when we are forced to come into contact that we no longer have plan A, we must immediately implement plan B. Three examples. Mitzvah Tisha B'Av, after you dwell on Eicha, aha, the world came to an end. Okay, the world came to an end. There's a plan B. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Purim, the Megillah was a real high point. The miracle that should have brought Mashiach. It didn't. It didn't bring Mashiach. The last parak, back to business. Business as usual. No, the world, nothing happened. There's a disappointment. No, there's a plan B. Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera. Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a preview of Yimos HaMashiach. Yom Shekula Shabbos. We had a taste of it. And now it's gone? Okay, don't worry. There's a plan B. V'ata Kodesh. Now you're asking a good question. What about during the week? I guess we have to focus on this every single day. The other reasons why we say during. Okay, that's a very hechad madrega. But for the average person, he has to realize you go through the week. It's a week of choil. It's a mundane tekufa. You have to realize that your life is not perfect. You can't expect that life should be perfect. And even when things are not perfect, we have to make the best of what we have with plan B. And that is what the theme of the Atah Kodesh is all about. And that is what we do in probably the greatest level, the highest level of saying the Atah Kodesh is on Tisha B'Av after you lay Eicha. That is the moment when it is the most essential. Okay, we're out of time in a very short break, and then I want to talk about some controversial topics about going to the Har Habayis. Okay, we once discussed this, but I want to go over some of these sites again. I have new material, so we'll discuss it in a few minutes. What? Because there is no Tzion. There is no Tzion. Uvol Tzion Goyal. There is no Gula. How could you have a chutzpah to say Uvol Tzion Goyal? And Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You're gonna. It's a chutzpah to say it to Hashem. On the day when the Korban happened, you have to have a matzikal of Es Hadin. We don't have Gula. That's not the time to say it. Gula, it's not as much to say Volotzion. We only focus on Kedusha. The question is, why do you say Volotzion Goya? That's not the question. The standard is not to say it. Shachris, after we say Asher, so then we say Volotzion Goya, because then we're yearning for Mashiach. But the standard is, there's no Shachris. We don't say Volotzion Goya. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Where is Ezra? So where is that neighborhood? I don't even know where it is.
Fever wasn't feeling well. It had to do with this device being taken from him. So late Friday, so they went to the hospital. He's still there, but of course, we had the kids. You can't find a doctor on the weekend. There's no doctors that come in, especially on a July 4th weekend. So anyway, hopefully he's been seen today, and we'll see what happens. They got his fever down somewhat, giving him antibiotics. So we'll see what happens.
And I texted him the answer, so I was wondering.
Yeah, well,